My name is John Leader, and I welcome you here today. I'm an associate pastor here. I've been here from the first day of the birth of this church, almost 5 years now. Pastor Miles is enjoying a well-deserved break with his family. And remember to pray for your pastor. Remember to pray for our pastor, okay? And pray that he'll be refreshed. And we will be this year going through the New Testament. So I want to encourage you to be up on the reading. We have an incredible website, and be following it. And if you have your Bibles, let's hold them up. Word. We say that if you're visiting because we believe that the Word of God stands above everything else. For the Lord himself says in the Psalms that he's exalted his Word even above his own name. We're to call to test everything in light of Scripture and hold fast to that which is true. Amen? Yeah. Again, as a pastor here, I've been blessed to be able to serve the body of Christ. I'm blessed to be able to teach, to equip the church for what God calls us to do, and he calls us to be light, not to one another, but out in the midst of a perverse and crooked generation. Do you realize that today? Now, many of you know that I went on a little missions trip for a couple months. Many of you prayed for me and the people I was with, and I want to thank you for those prayers because we saw the fruit of those prayers. And we're going to go do what we did the last 2.5 months or so, and we're going to go do it around the world in 2005. And I'll share a little bit about what that was for those of you who don't know. A friend of mine who is the founder and the front man of a heavy metal rock and roll band going back 22 or so years ago, and the band's name is Megadeth. He became a believer about 3 years ago. He was obligated through his record company to put out another album. So he did so, according to his contract. And we began to talk last year, and he says, look, John, you know, I've written a new album, and it rocks, by the way. And he says, we're going to go out and tour, and I'd like you to come on. The road is kind of an on-road pastor. Hold me accountable, because for the first time in my life, I want to go out there, and I want to honor God with the talent that he's given me. So the leader of that band, his name is Dave Mustaine, and if you followed heavy metal over the years, you know that he has quite a reputation. But now his reputation is that there's something different about him. And we were able to go do television interviews, MTV, radio interviews. He did them. I went with him as support and in prayer and all. And people certainly sat back and they go, that's not the same man. We, in turn, were able to see many people come to faith in Jesus Christ. And not only that, we were able to plant seeds in that environment. Part of our vision of the Rock Church is to engage every segment of society for the sake of shining his light and leading people to Jesus Christ. So we're going to study about that today. Are you ready? Open up to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, we're going to look at verses 12 through 16. We're going to read it, we're going to break it down, and we're going to look at the ingredients involved in being equipped and effective to be light out where it's dark. Are you ready? Are you ready? All right, let's read. Verse 12. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, Not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. Do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ that I have not run in vain or labored in vain. The Apostle Paul wrote this letter to the church at Philippi, and at the time he was imprisoned in chains. So he was hundreds of miles away, encouraging these people to continue in the race to be light. Paul uses many metaphors throughout the Bible. or the New Testament. He wrote 13 books of the New Testament. Much of what he said and much of what he wrote became Scripture, the authoritative Word of God. So I believe that he was the most radical, on fire Christian that's ever walked the earth, the most knowledgeable. So here's the Philippians, blessed just to have him as their pastor. But he went on, of course, and always left that responsibility in the hands of another, only for the sake of going out, being light, preaching the gospel, birthing another church, which God did through him, and then leaving another to shepherd the flock so that they could be effective, to be light. Where? In the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. So metaphors, I think through studying the metaphors of Paul, okay, being that the Word of God operates in the spiritual realm, we live in the physical, he makes use of metaphors to kind of bridge the gap for our understanding. And a lot of the metaphors in which he uses is that of athletics. So I think the brother was a sports fan. Okay? And just listen to some of these scriptures in the New Testament. Paul said that 1 Corinthians 9, that I box in such a way is not just to beat the air. In other words, not just a shadow box. He referred to the Christian life in Ephesians as a struggle or a wrestling match, not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and forces of darkness which cannot be seen. At the end of his life, he said, I have fought the good fight. He says, everyone who competes in the games, the Olympic games that is, they exercise self-control in all things, but they do it for a perishable crown. We do it as Christians for an imperishable crown. I think his favorite metaphor was that of running a race. He says, I do not consider my life any account as dear to myself, but that I may finish my course, the race. Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but only one receives the prize? And to the Galatians who fell back into legalism, once they understood the gospel, which means good news, that only Christ can save your sins, they fell back into legalism. And he said, you were running so well. And who hindered you from obeying the truth? And then finally in Hebrews 12, he says, let us run the race with endurance, the race that is set before us. And who is us? Us are believers. Another metaphor used throughout the New Testament is light. Either in reference to Jesus Christ as the light or to us as believers who are supposed to shine as the light. It's used 73 times in the New Testament. Both metaphors are used in our text today. So we're going to read and break it down. First of all, Paul's desire is found, or the key to this passage is verse 16. He said, look, I hold fast to the word of life that I may rejoice in the day of Christ that I have not run in vain. Or labored in vain. He wanted his race to be effective so that when he gets to the finish line in heaven, that he can stand before God and hear, job well done, my good and faithful servant. Do you live your life according to that reality, that you will stand before God as a believer and receive reward? Because we will stand before the judgment seat of Christ as believers. You will not be judged for your sin, for that was judged 2,000 years ago at the cross. We will stand in a judgment of rewards for what we've done here on earth for his glory. And I believe the most ultimate, glorious way to worship Jesus Christ is to take those crowns, which he's going to give us in the first place for what we do here on earth, throw them at his feet and say, I'm not worthy. The ultimate way to worship Jesus Christ. Amen? Therefore, we do not want to run in vain. Now, did you have a lot of good food this weekend? So did I. Yesterday I had this incredible prime rib roast that a friend made, and the reason it was so much better than other prime rib roasts that I've had is because there were special ingredients that made it so good. I'm also blessed with a wife who can cook. Some of you eating her food, amen? Amen. Amen. The reason that my wife can make chicken at another level than someone else can make chicken is because she has all these special ingredients she puts into it. For us to be able to run the race with endurance, for us to be able to run in such a way that we do not run in vain, to be effective in the midst of darkness and to shine as light, is to understand the recipe. Okay? Okay? So we're going to look at five ingredients today that are going to help us do that in verse 12. Okay? You ready? You're going to take notes. Ingredient number one is found in the word therefore. You read the word of God and you say, what is the therefore, therefore? The therefore there is always to take you back to what you just read. And in this case, it takes us back to verse 5. So let's read verses 5 through 11. Paul says this. He says, let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. Isaiah says that about the birth of Christ, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. There we see the deity of Jesus Christ, that he was God, but he became a man. He became a baby. God became a baby. Isn't that heavy? God became a baby. So humble thyself in the sight of the Lord, right? So it's found in the therefore, and we pick it up at verse 8. Being found in the appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God also highly exalted him and has given him the name which is above every name, that the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of those in heaven, of those on the earth, of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. You see it? The perfect model of humility, submission, and obedience is Jesus Christ. And as a believer, you always have that model to go back and look to. You see? Because if you're a believer today, he lives in you. Therefore, you have the ability to honor God. You have the ability to obey, which brings God glory, not yourself. The word being refers to the essence of a person's nature. And in this case, it's a continuous state or condition. Jesus has always been God. Even though he took on the form of man, he remained God in the flesh, yet without sin. Jesus obeyed the Father to the point of death. Jesus in the garden cried out three times, Father, if there's any other way for man to be saved, let this cup of your wrath pass from me. If there's any other way for man to be saved, Lord, please, Father, may it happen. But nonetheless, what did he say? Not my will, but thy will be done. You've seen the movie Passion, hopefully. If you haven't, I encourage you to get it and read the scriptures over and over again. 1 John 2:6 says, the one who says he abides in Christ, abide means to continue on with. The one who says he abides in Christ ought himself to walk in the same manner as he walked. So, ingredient one, it refers back to the work and the person of Jesus Christ, the one who we represent on this earth. It's the one we always crowd every week. Who's the man? We're quick to say Jesus, right? Jesus is the man. He's the God-man who empowers you to be able to shine his light. Ingredient number two is found in the word beloved. I love using the word beloved. A lot of times I'll come up here and I say, good morning, my beloved. Amen? Beloved. That ingredient is that you understand that you are greatly loved by God. Once you step into a relationship with God, it is so vital and so important to our growth that we understand he loves us. As a believer, he loves you. Does God have a general love for the world? He does, right? But when you're born, you're not a child of God. We are born separated from God because of our sin. There's a relationship that's been broken. When one steps into a right relationship with Jesus Christ, he bridges the gap. So when God looks at you as a child of God, he sees the righteousness of his son. Therefore, that is what enables you to become a child of God. John says, to as many as received him, to them he gives the right to become children of God. And then you step into a radical, deep, relational love, like a marriage. Now, you'll walk through life and feel discouraged. You may look at another Christian's life and begin to compare yourself to him. Like we were at a pastor's conference one day, and a friend of mine pointed this out. The speaker got up and says, how many of you here believe that God loves you? Everyone raises their hand. He says, how many of you here believe that God likes you? And this is all pastors, thousands of them. About half of them had their hand raised. And I believe that if you don't understand God's love for you according to what his word says, not the way you feel, unless you understand his love for you according to his word, in the time of temptation, in the time of weakness, in the time of doubt, in the time of discouragement, you will not resort back to the infinite love he has for you, but you will, in turn, resort back to the last thing that gave you pleasure. Drugs, alcohol, sexual promiscuity, pornography, things that gave you comfort, food. So as believers, we have to have that ingredient within us, understanding it, that God loves you. And it's not based on your performance. If you understand and rest in his love, he enables you to work out your salvation. And that's what these ingredients help us to do. Work out the salvation that's already been placed in us, you see. Are you with me? This is word of these are words of comfort and encouragement that Paul has for the church at Philippi. We have the same hope today. 1 John 3:1 says, to behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. We're children of God. Children of God. That means we have an intimate relationship with the creator of the universe. And he loves you. And the work that he began in you, he promises to finish the work. There's going to be a lot of days you're not going to feel loved. And I believe a lot of reason in which those pastors didn't raise their hand is because they may have a flock that God's ordained them to shepherd of 40 or 50 people. And then all of a sudden they look at someone like Rick Warren or Miles McPherson. Man, they got these big churches. And gee, God must not like me. So they just strive to try and attempt to do. And then you fall into legalism. That's a danger. You want to live from grace, for out of you will flow grace, right? For out of you will flow streams of living water, a living organism because of the salvation that was worked in. Very important that you understand the second ingredient, that you're beloved. You are the beloved of the Lord's. Third ingredient in working out your salvation is obedience. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed. Obedience for the believer is to be automatic. Automatic. Say automatic. 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 God will place on your heart his written word, if you're in it, right? He will bring to your mind. When we say God's been speaking to me, most often what he does is brings to your mind his written word in light of what's going on in your life. There's been times that God has spoken to me with Ephesians 6 where my son or my daughter has disobeyed, and it was my job to discipline them, but I disciplined them out of anger. The Bible says, fathers, do not exasperate your sons, or do not bring them to a point of frustration. So there's been plenty of times I had to go back to my son or daughter and said, you know, what you did was wrong, but I want you to know, the way I handled it was wrong. Fathers, do you do that? I can't encourage you enough to do that. I can't encourage you enough to do it. Obedience. By sitting in a place week after week after week, such as this, and hearing the word of God and not applying it to your life, you'll become very callous in the area of obedience. You will not shine as light to the lost. You can't. You can't. James 4:17 says this, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. Paul said in Romans 7, I would not have known sin except through the law, for I would not have known covetousness unless the law had said, you shall not covet. See, you cannot try to work yourself into a place of favor with God. You cannot try to climb a ladder, right, of works. You don't work for salvation, you work from it. God works it in, you work it out through obedience. A lot of people are trying to work something out that's never been worked in. You see? The Ten Commandments is God's perfect law. Is the law perfect? The law is perfect. God's law is perfect. But the law is like a mirror. When I got up this morning, I looked in the mirror, and I saw that I look messed up more than I am right now. When I wake up, I don't look pretty. My wife, she looks really good, no matter what. Even like the wrinkles on her face look pretty when she like sleeps like this. The mirror revealed to me this morning that my hair was messed up. The mirror revealed to me this morning that I had gunk in my eyes that needed to be washed out. The fog on the mirror revealed to me the fact that I had bad breath and I need to brush my teeth. I cannot take the mirror off the wall and comb my hair with it. I cannot take the mirror off the wall and brush my teeth with it. All it does is reveal the fact that I'm messed up. You can't keep the law of God. If you're not a believer here today and you're trying to keep God's law, you've already lost. Because God demands perfection. You and I can't meet that standard. Jesus met the standard. And until you bow your knee to him and allow him first place in your life, you will pay for your own sin when you die. And that's hell. To be eternally separated from God forever. So the law doesn't save. Christ, who fulfilled the law, he saves. Are you with me? Ingredient number 4 in working out your salvation. Understanding personal responsibility. And he says this. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence. The Philippians sat under the greatest teacher that I believe the Christian faith has ever seen outside of Jesus himself. The greatest, most radical man given to the faith suffered persecution unlike no other, the Apostle Paul. So it was very easy when he was in their presence to obey. Oh, hallelujah, praise Jesus, Paul. Right? Kind of the Sunday smile thing, I call it. How's everything going today? Praise God, it's going good. How was your week? Oh, amen, it was beautiful. Right? His life is unraveling, and he's too proud to admit it. Paul reminds these people that spiritual responsibility was not to him, but to God. Our responsibility is not to come to sit here so that our pastor sees us. Our responsibility is to receive what the word says for the sake of application to bring glory to God. So that we shine as in the midst of a crooked end generation. Amen? Fourth ingredient, obeying when no one is looking. Paul just reiterates the thing he shares in chapter 1, verse 27. He says this. Only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or I'm absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving for the faith of the gospel. See, believers are never without Christ's example, and they're never without the Spirit's power as a believer. The question is, are you willing to submit yourself to his authority? And the power he provides to go obey. Fifth ingredient in working out your salvation is to understand the consequences of sin. Because he says, work out your salvation with what? Fear and trembling. Fear and trembling. If you think you can stand against the temptation of the devil in your own strength, you've already lost, man. You have lost. The devil has had years and years and years and generation of generation to figure mankind out and their weaknesses. And he's got you figured out. As soon as you can think you can stand, you will fall. You will fall. Fear and trembling describes fright or terror as well as awe. Okay? You want to see God in his glory? You know what? You will fall on your face in terror. Isaiah 6 says this. Isaiah said, I saw the Lord sitting on the throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Angels cried to one another, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. You know what happened then? The posts of the door were shaken by the voice of him who cried out, and the house was filled with smoke. Isaiah's response, you know what it was? It wasn't this. Oh, that's just Jesus, my homie. Jesus isn't your homie. Straight up. Jesus is Almighty God. This was his response, Isaiah. You know what he said? All he could say was, woe is me. Woe is me, for I am undone. As soon as you think you got it all going on, until the light of Almighty God's word shines in the dark places, You only think you got it going on. I'm a man of unclean lips. I dwell in the midst of a people with unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. The Gospel of John, verse 12, declares that this Isaiah passage was Jesus Christ in his glory. Are you with me? The words fear and trembling are a proper reaction in understanding the power of temptation. My wife and I went out the other night to some friend's house for dinner. My daughter was staying at someone else's house. My son is 16. He's going to stay at home by himself. So I say, hey, son, behave yourself while we're gone. He's like, well, what do you mean? I'm here by myself. I go, exactly. He says, what, you don't trust me? And I says, yeah, I do trust you. I said, I don't trust the temptation of the devil. So what I said to him was this. I actually think I came up with this. This was awesome. Which shows me it was God. I said, son, temptation will come. And as a believer in Christ, do not fall prey to temptation. But fall in and pray when temptation comes, right? See, the Bible says there's no temptation overtaking you except such as common to every other guy. But with every temptation, which comes from the devil, God uses it as a test. He'll always leave the way of escape. And it's up to you to turn from it and walk, because he gives the ability to do it. You got the five ingredients? Okay, here we go. Working out your salvation with fear and trembling. Now, you may look at that passage and go, well, that sounds like a lot of work that I got to do. Why do I need God? Verse 13 answers it. Because it is God who works in you both to will and to what? Do. For whose pleasure? His. When God begins to do a work in a believer, when he works salvation in, the first thing he begins to work on in our lives is our will. Because though you bow down and receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, you still have a will. You're a free will agent. You can either hold on to your will, right? If you hold on to your will, there will be no do. Many people have asked me to disciple them over the years, men, and I've discipled a lot of men, and it's been a blessing to see the fruit. I can't encourage you enough to do what we're called to do. Make disciples of other believers so that they can be effective and be in light. Make disciples, but become a disciple first. Many people say, oh, would you disciple me? And a lot of guys I've been like, this dude is trying to use me as a pastoral pawn because his wife is fed up with his garbage and she's about ready to leave him. So he's going to use me and just kind of place me in a place of see, right? I did this big old boxer dude did that. And we soon found out when his sin was revealed, it wasn't a godly sorrow which led to repentance. It was a sorrow that his sin caused him to lose these relationships and stuff. He was soon gone. The point is, if you hold on to your will, the Word of God can come in all day long, and it has no ability to work. But if you relinquish your will to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, right? The Word of Christ has now an area in which to work. And then it first changes your thinking. Once it changes your thinking, your mind and your thinking changes, then you're able to walk and it changes your behavior because you're walking in obedience. Once the behavior changes, your associations change. The reason that my friend, Dave Mustaine, went out and was able to be light is because he submitted his life to the Lordship of Christ and allowed God to work. Social associations changed, behaviors changed, so people would go, something different. The concert still rip, right? People came to faith in Christ because they saw light and they wanted truth. I got a call from the first guy we led to the Lord in Reno, Nevada, the first show. And he called and said, man, I cannot thank you enough. He says, when I first came to faith that night, back in November, I wasn't feeling it. I didn't feel this joy that you guys were talking about. But I kept encouraging him. I said, keep walking by faith. Get into a church. Get into the Word. Go tell your pastor at this church you need to be discipled. Well, guess what? He says, bro, the feelings that I didn't have, they're there. I got joy now. Because he's a guy that's been sober for 9 years. He went up to my friend and said, dude, I know you've been sober for a while. I've been sober, but I got no peace. See, God hadn't worked salvation in because he'd resisted God. He became callous. When the gospel was presented, he repented. If you ain't feeling it, keep walking in it. And as you walk by faith, eventually feelings will follow. That's a fact. That is a fact. Temptation will come. Verse 13, it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. A lot of people say, Lord knows I want to do right. Lord knows I want to stop beating my wife. Yeah, I've heard that before. Lord knows I want to quit smoking dope. Okay, first of all, will yourself not to beat your wife. Okay? If you keep going to the pipe, get rid of your pipe and throw away your stash. Be willing to allow God to enable you to do that. And he promises that if your will is submitted, you'll be able to do. If you have a problem in that area, the problem is with one's want to. And they don't want to. They're fighting and they're struggling. You want real freedom and real joy? Let go. Give God your will. Surrender your will and you'll be able to do. Come on, somebody. Are you with me? Paul says in Philippians 4 that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. If you want to and you're a believer, you can. It's guaranteed. If you're not a believer, you can't. There ain't nothing to work out. You can't work for salvation. You work from it. It's a divine birth within. That's why Jesus said, unless a man is born again of the Spirit, he cannot see the kingdom of heaven. We're born physical, but we're born also spiritually dead. You see? Only he can take residence and bring life to that. Now, many of you may sit there, what about babies who never come to know Christ? They die as infancy. I believe Scripture is very clear in that for such children, that is the kingdom of heaven. Book of Job declares it, I believe. 1 Samuel, not enough time for that right now. Just so that you, in case you're thinking in that direction. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Does that mean I can climb Mount Everest in tennis shoes and a t-shirt? Come on, man. Can you? That would be stupid. Because the element would kill you. So that verse is often taken out of context. I can do all things. I can do God's will according to his plan. As I yield myself, then I'm able to do that which he calls me to do. To shine as in the midst of a perverse and crooked generation. If the ability is there, you can do it. You can do it. You know, there's a lot of times I'll say to my wife, who again is that great cook. I'm 40 years old. When I was 32, I still had me a tight six pack going. And I didn't have to work for it because I have a really high metabolism. And if I pulled up my shirt today, which I'm not going to do, you would see that six-pack is insulated. And as my metabolism is slowed down, my sweet tooth is enlarged, right? So there's been nights where my wife cooks a good old meal, meat and potato type of meal, and I sit back in the chair, and she has the gift of hospitality. She always has little dishes of candy laying around, you know, chocolate kisses and mini Milky Ways. So I'll grab that dish and start eating one at a time, and I have polished off 20 or 30 of those bad boys in one sitting. So then as soon as I get a stomach ache and a headache, I look at my belly and I'll say, man, honey, I said, you know, I do still work out. I said, you know, I'm going to carve down my diet a little bit and get back that six pack. And her response is usually this, whatever. Because you see, that area of my life, I just have not willed to not take the candy. So the six-pack, which I'm lacking, is not going to happen until I do willfully reject the bowl of candy. Amen. You get me? It's no different than any other area that's applicable to your growth in Jesus Christ. So God says you can, and if you can't, you're simply not willing as a believer. Period. That is Scripture. That's God's divine word. Next, verse 14 and 15. Now, because you have these elements in which you can focus on to grow, and you have God's power to do it, because of that reality, because of that truth, verse 14, then do all things without complaining and disputing. Just do it without whining, right? As soon as opposition arises in our life, if you're going to live a life that glorifies Christ, there will be opposition. There's going to be. Because the devil, all he can do is stand on the sidelines of your life and go, psst, I got a shortcut. He wants to take you out of the game so that you bring no light to a lost world, you see. He wants you looking like, acting like, and living like the world that's lost so that you don't shine as light. Because that's all, in effect, the devil can do. He can't take away your salvation. Because what kind of life is that? Everlasting. Everlasting. How long does that last? Forever. So here we have an attitude is to complain, right? And an action is to dispute. Okay? Dispute means to dialogue. A lot of times you tell your kids to do something and they begin to move in that direction, but they go, I don't want to. Or I don't feel like it. Right? Doing and feeling are irrelevant to one another. Are you following me? There again, if you don't feel like it, step out by faith. That's stepping into an area in which you're not familiar with, but trusting God with it, that's faith. And without faith, it's impossible to please God. But he's a rewarder of those who do what? Diligently seek him. When you step out into those areas that you're not familiar with and you're not feeling it, step out. Allow him that area. Submit your will. You'll be able to do. He'll empower you to do it. You'll see the fruit in your life, and that will boost your faith. To keep on running, you see? To keep on running. So that you may become what? Blameless and harmless children of God without fault. Blameless or harmless here means unmixed alloys. Pure gold refined. Pure silver refined. No impurities within. You put heat to gold or silver, what comes to the top? The dross. The dross. The impurities. You scrape them off, you got pure gold. Pure. Unmixed alloys. There's a lot of world mixed up in the church today. Come in on Sunday and we, hallelujah, pastor. Praise Jesus. Who's the man? Jesus is the man. Word. Go out on Monday, we look like, talk like. The world, all of the stuff mixed in, this world, it comes out. We only suppress it on Sunday, you see? It all comes out. Biggest thing I hear the church complain about is how messed up the world is. The world's so messed up, it's so perverted, it's so twisted. Yes, it is. Of course it is. And you were part of it at one time. And so was I. I was in the front of the front row, leading the pack. The world's doing what they're supposed to do. The problem is that the church has stopped shining as the light. People will see the light. They'll stand back. They won't get it at first. But they'll begin to inquire. You don't have to stand on a soapbox. You be the light, God will give you opportunity to speak. The band that opened for Megadeth for that 2 months, whatever it was, the leader of that band, who's been the leader and front man of that band for 22 years. He said, he came in tears. He said, man, actually his road manager said this. He goes, I just want you to know that Gary had a full album's worth of lyrics written which were full of anger, full of hatred, full of bitterness and resentment. And he said he's going to trash it all and rewrite the whole album just because of the influence you guys have had on him. That's just seeds planted, man. He ain't come to faith yet, but he did email me to wish me a happy holiday. And I replied to his email that has his first name, 666@AOL.com. Ooh, 666, big deal. He's lost, right? He's lost. We were able to plant seeds or water the seed. Only God's going to bring forth the harvest anyway. I was able to share the gospel on the very last day of the very last show with three of the five guys in that band for 45 minutes. And they sat here like this. never heard it like that before. That's a straight up gospel. It's not religion, it's a relationship with Jesus Christ. You will be unmixed, harmless, without fault, living above reproach. To live above reproach means that no one can point a finger at you. No one can point a finger at you and blame you for something that you're not guilty of. What does the world say about the church? Oh, it's full of what? Hypocrites. For the most part, they're right. So we need to go be the... Okay, and here it is. You're harmless. You've put all these ingredients in your life. You know that God works in you so that you can work it out. Therefore, don't complain, don't whine, don't think just because opposition arises in your life, you go, why me, why me? God's refining you too. You see? Strengthening you in the faith. So don't whine and complain so that you may be blameless and harmless, children of God, without fault. Where? In our text. Where? In the midst of a crooked and perverse generation among whom you what? Shine as light. We're going to get this building down in Point Loma. We're not going to go buy up all the condos down there and build a 3,500-seat sanctuary and have all those killer classrooms and a school and places for you to come and be equipped to have a little Christian camp and seclude ourselves from the world. Oh, the world's so wicked. No, man, you need to be equipped so you can go. Go. Get equipped. If you can't handle going back into the element, don't go until you're equipped and walking with your will submitted so that you can go do it. My brother thought that going out without some accountability, some sharpening, he saw the potential to fall. So he took somebody with him. Take someone who's stronger with you, who's going to point you not to their little radical, cool little ideas, but all they're going to do is point you to the Word of God. Amen? Because, you see this, you shine as lights in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, holding fast the word of life, Paul said, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain or labored in vain. It means to grip tightly. Not for the sake of holding it up. Anybody can do that. See, this represents something that is way greater than just being able to raise your Bible. It means that I'm going to grip tightly the truth within it to my heart in obedience. So when I'm gripping it tight to my heart in obedience, walking in fellowship with God, knowing He loves me, I can hand it out and reach out to other people too. Are you following me today? You want to give Jesus Christ a great gift next Christmas? Walk this year with a will submitted and committed to Him so that you can do, so that when you're out there, no one can have a valid accusation against you. They just go, man, there's something, I don't know, there's something different about him or her. And you will shine His lights. You don't have to worry about changing their hearts. God will do it. You follow me? Okay, let's pray. I don't know how you're running today. Maybe you've laid down in the track. Maybe you're tied up. Maybe you've stepped out of the race. But God says, get back up and run. I still love you, regardless of your performance. Father, I want to thank you for your divine, almighty, powerful word. Thank you for the body of Jesus Christ, sinners saved by grace. God, I pray for your most rich blessings upon every man and woman in here who knows you, that they will be able to go out and effectively work out their salvation with fear and trembling, to shine as light in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation that'll never change until you return anyway. Help us, Lord, not to be mixed with church and world, but to shine. I pray for everyone who's struggling or feeling condemned at the moment. Lord, I pray that your grace would abound in their lives and they would sense your presence. They would sense your grace. They would sense your mercy, restoration, that they'll take it and walk in it. For those who don't know you, Lord, I pray that the word today would impart not only your grace, but conviction. And if you don't know Christ today, I interrupt the prayer to say, you need to pray to ask him for forgiveness. You need to surrender. You need to allow him to work in his grace in your heart and in your life. And if you're not saved today, you say this prayer after me as our heads are bowed. Lord, I know I'm a sinner. Lord, I know I can't work anything out because you've yet to work anything in. I haven't let you. Please forgive me. come into my life, that my heart is a Bethlehem ready to receive you this Christmas season. Forgive me, Lord. I want to walk with you. If you said that prayer for the first time today, I want you to raise your hand just so I can pray for you. God bless you. Anybody else? Raise your hand. I'll pray for you. God bless you. God bless you. Bless you, sir. God bless you. Lord, I pray for your richest blessing on this body and on these new believers, that we together will shine and able to live out our vision to engage every segment of society with the gospel. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.